songs of praises I will ever give to thee. Heavenly Father, as we come today, may our praises open our hearts and minds to your word and to the comfort that it brings to us. And I pray all of this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Please be seated. In a few quiet moments this week, I was reflecting back over the last month, particularly in terms of parish life. And as I reflected, I couldn't help but be reminded again just of how special God's family is, the privilege of being part of God's family in this group of parishes. As I reflected back, I've had the privilege of journeying with two couples as they have brought their children for baptism, asking God's blessing upon them. I've met with three other couples to set dates for weddings and to talk through the big day. I've chaired vestry meetings. I've seen people once again offer their time and their talents to the church and to see our needs once more met again financially. I've chaired the school board of management this week and been part of running what I think is the best school in the diocese. And it's great to see the passion to have the very best that we can for our children. I've spent a day with prospective curates in the last couple of weeks for the Kildrum-Ferton group of parishes, showing them around, letting them get a feel for rural ministry. I've enjoyed quizzing with the Joy Club. I've enjoyed going on day trips with our young people to Lough Key, to Boyle last Saturday. And of course, I enjoyed last Sunday, as some of us here did as well, on that joint parish trip with the Bailieborough group. A really enjoyable day. Over the last month or so, I visited people. I've sat with people as they've watched a loved one slip away. And I've prayed with young and old alike to the joys and the sorrows and the brokenness of life. I've had many conversations on many, many different levels about many different things. And as I reflect back on the last 4 weeks since Easter, the phrase that has stuck out for me was when one of the people in a difficult moment said these words, "I don't know how people can cope without faith. I don't know how people can cope without faith." I wonder, do you agree or disagree with those sentiments? Well, as we come to today's reading from John 6, I believe there is so much truth in those words. I don't know how people can cope without faith. Or perhaps I should say it this way. I don't know why people need to cope without faith. Again, let me bring us up to speed. When we left John 5 a couple of Sundays ago, we had read once again that Jesus, above all, was a person of deep grace. His love for people was unsurpassed, a model that we are called to follow. And as we come to John chapter 6, Jesus gracefully continues to meet people's needs. Jesus, we find at the start of John chapter 6, has traveled to the Sea of Galilee. Think about 8 or 9 miles from Jerusalem, where we find he has been teaching the crowds that are gathering and numerous. He has been healing the sick. And we read at the start of John 6 that after a long day, there are about 5,000 people who are gathered with Jesus. And we know the rest of the story, don't we? How Jesus takes 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish and he miraculously feeds the people, 12 baskets of leftovers. And then at the end of chapter 6, Jesus once again is surrounded by crowds and he challenges them. While many have realized who Jesus is, the Messiah, John writes, many see Jesus simply as a traveling entertainer. Many see Jesus as simply a provider of physical needs. And Jesus in John chapter 6 verse 25 onwards calls out to them. He tells them he is more than who they see physically. He is the bread of life, the one who offers eternal life. And as we will see next week, many are displeased with what he says. So 2 encounters on the shores of Galilee. And our passage is sandwiched in between those 2 days. So at this stage, can I encourage you to follow along in the Pew Bibles or the weekly sheet as we pick up John chapter 6. Well, as we pick up on the passage, we read that the disciples decide to engage in some time out on the water. They get into the boat and they head for the other side of the Sea of Galilee to Capernaum. We are told, as we read in that passage, it was dark, but I am sure, as some of them were fishermen, they knew the water well. The key thing at this stage is Jesus is not with them. And so they head off into the night. And then in verse 18, what do we read? We read that a strong wind blows up and the waters begin to get rough. I had the privilege of visiting Israel many years ago, and we were brought out as part of the tour onto the Sea of Galilee, which is kind of in a valley. And the guide explained to us, even to this day, it was commonplace for the wind to whip up the valley and for the waters to change very quickly. So far, this all makes sense. But what doesn't make sense is what happens next. Do you notice what we are told in verse 19? We are told that they have rowed 3 or 4 miles. Obviously, strong men. I think I'd be struggling if I rowed 3 or 4 meters. But they have rowed 3 or 4 miles. When all of a sudden, who do they see? They see Jesus walking on the water towards them. Not the first time. This is a different incident where Jesus is asleep in the boat and the water gets rough. So they see Jesus walking on the water towards them. It's hard to comprehend, isn't it? It's hard to explain what is happening at this point of the story, isn't it? Jesus walking on the water. The reaction of the disciples is to be frightened. Not only to be frightened in the storm, but to be frightened who they see walking out towards them. They have witnessed Jesus do lots of extraordinary things, but this even surpasses what they have seen. And then at the end of the passage in verse 20 and 21, Jesus reassures them. Do you notice the words that he says to them? He says, "It is I. Don't be afraid." Words of peace and calm. Then they were willing to take him into the boat, and immediately we are told the boat reaches the shore. So what's our takeaway from this passage? Well, on a theological level, and theological just simply means thinking about God level, there are many that have tried to argue that the boat was just simply beside the shoreline, that Jesus was merely just paddling out towards them. But to me, that doesn't make sense either. That would make the inclusion of the story pointless. What does that really tell us about Jesus other than he liked to paddle to his ankles? But as we build on the story, all I can offer to us is that this is another miracle. It's another example that John includes to underline the power of Jesus beyond the physical world that we inhabit. So that's the theological level, the power of Jesus. But I want to bring this to a more personal level, because I believe this passage speaks into our lives too. For me, this is the story of Jesus coming in a miraculous way. And here for me is the key phrase, a beyond our understanding way. A beyond our understanding way, and journeying with the frightened disciples, joining them and getting them through the rough times until they were safely ashore. For me, it's a comforting passage. It reminds us that when we call upon Jesus at any time, but especially when times are rough, are challenging, are frightening, we, when we call out to him, can know his presence in a very sure way, beyond our human understanding. We can know when we call out to God that he journeys with us, assurance. Which is why that phrase that I began my sermon with, I don't know how people can cope without faith, Or as I said, I don't know why people need to cope without faith is such a powerful phrase. It's so insightful and it's so true. We have someone who gives us strength and hope beyond our human physical understanding. So as we reflect in this story, it's the story of Christ giving us peace even in the midst of the storm, teaching us that when we have Christ with us, we have everything that we need in life, in good and in difficult times. So the application into our lives is straightforward this week. All that we need to do, whatever life is for us today, is to call on the name of Jesus and to allow him to minister to us. Shall we pray together? Heavenly Father, so much of what we read on our own human understanding does not make sense. We live in a world that is ruled by physics, that is ruled by absolute things, and yet we see the power of Jesus, able to heal and able to walk in water, able to bring reassurance and strength and hope. And may we in our own lives, whatever and wherever we are today, call upon the name of Jesus, invite him to be part of our lives, and to know his peace, his comfort, his strength, and his reassurance in whatever life brings to us. And I pray all of this in his powerful name, Jesus. Amen.